do about drugs to alleviate pain. This is my advice. I'm not going to spend a lot of time going into it. This is my advice. If you have some very important work to do, planetary, for a country, that is spiritual and therefore will benefit the planet, use the drugs, use them. Use the drugs the doctor offers you. And don't think he's doing you a favor, he's got to. He offers you them, take them until you have done that work. Until you have done that work. Otherwise, my advice is take all the pain that you can stand before you resort to drugs. You may have to take drugs eventually anyway. But if you have nothing better to do out there, that's part of your karma, if you have nothing better to do out there, then you should accept pain, as much of it as you can stand. Now I know that will, but that will be the situation in the on the planet in 10,000 years. There will be that sort of understanding of deeper forces. And as I point out later, there will come confirmation that dark matter has got living entities within it. And some of those living entities have human characteristics. And when that sort of thing comes, of course, science will claim the kudos for it anyway. But we know. And in knowing, you have got a responsibility. That's what Adam and Eve were all about. They knew. The animals didn't know. They knew. They were self-conscious and knew. I want to talk about silence now. Silence. Silence will be prized above almost anything in the new age ahead. Attempts will be made to secure it, and governments will be sympathetic. International rule will be sympathetic to it. The Master KH, the Lord Kutumi, on the ray of the Christ, said that noise poses the greatest threat in the 20th century. And I remember quoting that 30 years ago. And we have to deal with it. When I was a little boy of 17, a cannon went off right next to me. Nobody warned me it was there, and it went off, bang. And I've had tinnitus for the rest of my life. I can hear the ringing noise that I heard a second after the cannon went off. And it'll be there forever, of course I don't sit and listen to it. And so tinnitus, hearing noises in the ear, will increasingly curse mankind up to a certain point. But with genetic engineering, it is overcome. The ability to strengthen parts of the genetic complement of man, it will be overcome. And of course you won't have things like the wars we've had recently, the bangs and so on. Special places on the planet are insulated against noise. You might be able to have an apartment in such a building. Or you might be able to meet as a meditation group. Instead of the Scandic Hotel, you're going to go to a special place where noise is shut out. And then, that will tend to help beginners in meditation to achieve progress to the state where their own consciousness, turned inwards, will ignore this outer interference, the noises of hurly-burly of life, and the tinnitus in the ear, and so on. So there will be great interest in this method of reducing interference. Flotation tanks are discouraged, will be discouraged. They're discouraged as far as I'm concerned right now. There's no way that you should attempt to do by practical means what should be a discipline of the mind. Buddhist monks would sit under a tolling bell to meditate. That would be the supreme test, that they could sit there and ignore. I'm not saying that we should do it, far from it. But that is true, that was a fact. Men will begin to pick up responses from their unconscious in these silence rooms. The unconscious which constantly talks, the solar angel that tries to reach you, is often not heard. It isn't that he's not there, he's not heard. Your attention is elsewhere. And in these silence rooms, this sort of thing will be achieved. And rarely, but definitely, there will be sometimes when it is from the higher self, these communications. High technology will make this possible. It will be possible, 10,000 years from now, to have pictures of your lucigrams. Lucigram is a neologism which I've created to describe the space between the brows which receives light pictures from the higher self. And it will be possible for these not to be photographed. I didn't say photograph. Something will be used to register this sort of input. There will be a huge increase in the number of amanuenses, people who become an instrument for a higher being, a genuine higher being, and will produce original work relating to diseases, relating to problems of the world, sometimes poetry, but original. I must say that after all these years, I have been a little dejected about the quality of transmitted material. I constantly get manuscripts related to it and very rarely find any original thinking, any original facts which help mankind. That's my opinion. But there are some notable ones. Alice Bailey. She used to sit in the railway compartment or in wherever she was and sit there, and she would just write it down. She heard this. Have you ever seen the Bailey books? If you're going to buy a set, take your checkbook in and be sure you've got £1,000 in the bank. Magnificent work. And so, lovely books will emerge, not always books, they will be in some strange sort of communication, but they will be the result of amanuenses who are advanced souls coming into an incarnation with a specific purpose and sitting in, as an amanuensis, picking up a pen and dealing with that subject. I've got just enough time to talk to you about gold and alchemy in the New Age. We have examples of transmission from who knows out there which were original. The chemist Kekulé, I've often told you about this. He could not understand how the six atoms of a benzene molecule operated. What shape? And he had gone into a reverie before his fire with this problem in his mind, and then suddenly he was aware of six elephants, I think they were, who took hold of each other's tails and went in a circle. And he knew then that the benzene molecule was, help me, was a ring, the benzene ring. of six molecules joined together, not like that or that, but in a ring. That's a famous example. Silence is rightly said to be golden. Silence is golden. And in the silence, there are many treasures for mankind. But silence has to be one, and the sooner the better in your life. If you are a reincarnation of an old Buddhist monk, and you can sit in the middle of London in your drawing room and hear the traffic go by and not take any, that's fine. But it is your responsibility to obtain it. It has to be one. Blaming your environment for not meditating, it's just not on. Alter your environment or alter yourself. Do something. Don't blame everybody around you. Either adjust to the noise or remove it, or move from it. It's 1 o'clock. I'll continue with gold, mercury, and alchemy after lunch. Thank you. I'm talking about a period in the future which will be not more than 700 years. The fusion of helium atoms is finally achieved. And energy is available so readily that it can be packaged in very small compartments. This is mainly through the advances of technology in applying nuclear energy to small experiments. Now, the great clairvoyant C.W. Leadbeater forecast that 700 years from now, man would walk around with a device for dealing with all his energy needs, and it would be no bigger than a medium-sized matchbox, which means he could go anywhere he liked. He could run just about anything on that. Perhaps a motor car, perhaps frigid air, no matter what. He is completely self-contained and is able to draw on it at a moment's notice. Now, that was C.W. Leadbeater's forecast. The fusion of the helium atoms is done harmlessly, and fossil fuels become redundant. The oils and the coal and so on are no longer required. Electricity is used only in specialized circumstances and is kept away from human homes. It is used when it is convenient and it is not placing anybody in danger. For it is found that the effect on the human nervous system and blood-making components has not been helped by the orthodox attitudes to electricity. Immense investment in the subject of electricity, in the whole proposition of electricity, has not allowed research to go ahead as it should have. But eventually it has found that the human nervous system and the blood-making components are affected by electricity. The deleterious effects of electricity is through its tendency to narrow the lumen of the three great nadis that we talked about earlier. If these nadis were examined with etheric vision, you would find that they are tubes, and that on the actual nadi itself, there are what are called webs, and these lie between the chakras. There's a chakra, there's a web, there's another web here. And these webs act as valves on the energy which passes up and down Sushumna on the spine. And it is found that electricity narrows the lumen of the Sushumna and also has an effect of grossening, thickening these webs so that they too press on the circulatory forces within the nadis. Now, in spiritual unfoldment, the process is through the raising of the energy lying within Sushumna at the base of the spine. It is said that at the base of the spine there is a coiled up serpent called Kundalini, and she's female. And when Kundalini is aroused, she uncoils and passes up slowly through the, or up the lumen of the Sushumna nadi. And in so doing, she is impeded by the webs that I've talked about, the circular webs between the chakras. She is impeded by them. But she burns her way through eventually with spiritual unfoldment. And the aim of spiritual unfoldment is to open all the chakras on the spine successively, from the sacral center to the solar plexus chakra. From the solar plexus chakra, the fire of Kundalini flows up to the heart chakra, and from the heart chakra to the throat, and from the throat into the brow, and from the brow into the head center. And that has spread out over 700 odd lives on this planet. Progress is made progressively in each life, and what progress is obtained is recorded in the permanent atoms of the individual. And when he is reborn in a later life, he achieves that level of unfoldment achieved in previous lives. And so it is a progressive process. Those of us who have centers above the diaphragm, the sheet of muscle that lies between the abdomen and the chest, those of us who have open centers above the diaphragm are more able to sustain physical, emotional, and mental stress, particularly the last two. Now, this is a progressive matter. It is said that in the great civilization of Lemuria, the energies had reached the sacral center, which energizes the sexual organs. Under the impact of this Kundalini energy reaching the sacral center of mankind, the Lemurian root race, which we all incarnated in many eons ago, as it were, that race, the third root race, separated the sexes, separated the hermaphrodite sexes, which were together, and then separated into male and female, under the impact of planetary Kundalini flowing up humanity's spines to the level of the sacral center. The energy then passed higher, burning its way through the webs, and reached the solar plexus chakra in the region of the navel, or the navel chakra if you prefer it. And the navel chakra was opened in the great civilization of Atlantis. Atlantis was an emotional civilization. Lemuria was a physical, sacral civilization. Thereafter, from about a period of 3 million years ago, the energy of Kundalini began to flow into the throat center. And so there was developed in the fifth root race the capacity for tremendous active intelligence. So there you see the spiritual qualities unfolding. The sacral center, which gives the capacity to create in two sexes, heterosexually. The Atlantean race, which gave the ability to emote, the capacity for affect, feeling, creativeness in through the energy of emotion. Then in our own root race, the fifth root race, active intelligence is embodied in this chakra. And so the vast numbers of people in the West are in the process of unfolding the throat chakra. This is what we call progressive spiritual unfoldment. And the incarnating lives that you have, up to 777, enable this process to continue normally. However, due to the contribution of those great beings who have led mankind spiritually, it is possible to intervene in your unfoldment. It is possible for you to add impetus to the rising of the fire of Kundalini. And it is raised through the addition of a male energy drawn from the heart of the sun, which passes down through various head centers, down Sushumna, and draws female Kundalini upwards. This is elementary bread and butter theosophy, if you like, yoga, if you like. It affects all mankind evenly. Of course, there are exceptions. There are those that have left our civilizations on Earth eons ago and have come back again to help. The great being that is Plato is a Namanakaya, one of these. The Buddha returns periodically. The Christ returns periodically through a Messiah. And so the whole process of spiritual unfoldment is left to nature, or through intervention, one may intervene in one's own spiritual unfoldment and give the process impetus. The best way of doing it, to my mind, and I'm not suggesting that this is the course that you should follow, the best way, to my mind, the safest and the surest, is to so perform your activities on earth in service to mankind that the attention of the high beings that I have just mentioned and their hierarchies are drawn to you. And it is in the interest of humanity and of the spiritual growth of the solar system that they intervene with you, for you, to assist this process safely. That is the course that I recommend, but not everyone believes in it. There are those who would fight it alone. Take the kingdom of heaven by storm. We don't hear too much of it nowadays, but that has been so. There are those who do it through blind devotion. There are those who do it through scientific achievement, serving mankind through raising the standard of living, the quality of life. There are those that beautify the planet, the fourth ray souls who beautify the planet, who through a process of great conflict mentally achieve the capacity to touch the planet in various places and bring the beauty of it out. All these paths, the path of the seven rays, are all recommendable. It greatly depends on what your rays are at this time in this life, as to what path you will take in this particular life. And the whole process of spiritual unfoldment, to my mind, is one of the most gorgeous things ever revealed to mankind. I would not have given 40 years of my life and 5 university trainings if I had not thought just that. I could have gone into anything, but I chose this. And so we were back at the stage of talking about these nadis that flow up the spine carrying fire. Kundalini fire comes from the center of the earth. Again, there is dark matter in the center of the earth. It arises out of dimensions that are without space and without time. The problem of electricity is that living close to high-powered, high-tension wires, next to pylons and so on, is that the electricity narrows the nadis, especially Sushumna, thickens the webs so that they cannot be burnt through under the normal process, natural process, of Kundalini's arousal. There are also relay effects from that, from the upset etheric system occasionally being choked in its endeavor to pass upwards. There are relay effects acting on the spinal cord in physical tissue and also on the bone marrow, thus bringing about periods of great and inexplicable exhaustion and encouraging the development of unusual disorders and lowering the resistance of the individual. I firmly believe that a lot of this matter is known to the authorities, but the investment in electricity is so immense, and the fact that there's no alternative, maybe if nuclear fission had produced a controllable power, then electricity could, I believe Britain was trying to do this, could have been pushed aside. But this is the situation. 700 years from now, electricity is hardly used except in very specialized ways. Psychologically, the effects of electricity are to make man more materialistic, bringing it out psychologically, his behavior becomes more materialistic. Physically, the process tends to increase the size of man. But the future of man does not lie with giants. As a matter of fact, it is very difficult to find the 20 or 30% of Ray 3 physical bodies that there used to be. I wouldn't think in this room there would be more than about five Ray 3 physical types. They are becoming less as the Ray 3 begins to draw out of physical manifestation. But electricity has this capacity to stimulate growth of human beings and, unfortunately, not making them any subtler in the process. Now, the action of electricity spiritually, acting on spiritually motivated people, is to mimic the effects of cigarettes and of alcohol. Cigarettes and alcohol, for whatever other reasons, cigarettes and alcohol grossen the webs around or between the chakras and produce coarsening of the webs. Now, the body's own magnetic field is disordered by the proximity of powerful electrical forces. The emotional desires coarsen the personality and make it susceptible to silly things like panic. Panic for no reason at all is responsible for inexplicable neurasthenia, where the person like the twin this morning was listless, unresponsive, and things like claustrophobia. The effect of electric light on us is detailed in my book, Esoteric Healing 2. Not as serious as the actual current of electricity, especially when it's high tension. Electric light is most harmful and dangerous at the present moment through night driving. People drive their cars at night. Some have difficulty managing. They have this bright oncoming headlight flashed into their eyes, may catch them unawares, and they have to stare it out and watch the road. And the result of this can sometimes be that there is a sudden, inexplicable, notice how I've used the word inexplicable again and again, there is a sudden, inexplicable loss of consciousness by the driver, and naturally crashing result, sometimes deaths which have no apparent cause. This is monitored through the parasympathetic and sympathetic nervous systems, acting in such a way as to cause a massive collapse, like a faint. I'm trying to think of the word for that syndrome. It'll come later. Now, with nuclear fusion, many elements become interchangeable. What is happening is that we do know that we can change one element into another. We have evidence of being able to do this through nuclear fission. A bomb explodes, plutonium explodes, releases light and energy, and two new elements result. So we do know that alchemy is possible, but the cost of it is too much, too high. But with nuclear fusion occurring and the control of the process, a lot of alchemy becomes available, and it is greatly needed at that time. What happens is that a helium atom can be extracted from mercury with fairly great ease in the period ahead that I'm talking about. And through the extraction of helium atoms from things like mercury, there appears new elements. One helium atom taken out of mercury produces gold. It is a good thing that it happens, because the South African gold mines are worked out. The usual sources of gold are now not producing nearly as much as they used to. And it comes at a time when the planet is beginning to explore space seriously. The main difficulties barring access to the smaller planets has been overcome. And in these huge interplanetary vehicles, every conceivable kind of element, metal, is needed. And so it comes at a very good time to equip space vehicles and space stations. Now, I think that at this stage, before I continue with some observations about the kind of human beings that exist on the planet in the future, I think I'd be quite happy to answer questions. If any of you have got questions, if you'd give them to one of the... You want to ask it verbally, then I'll have to repeat it. Yes?
Do you think
yoga? Sorry, did you say, is there danger in yoga exercises?
Is there danger to start at a young age before any exercise?
To start what kind of... Oh, spiritual exercises? The best thing that can happen to a young person, even younger than you, is that the person should have considerate parents, that they should not expect from such a person the usual process of development. The usual process of a development very often does not apply to children who, of their own volition, start to ask spiritual questions. In my work on super-gifted children, I explain just that. When I talk about a super-gifted child, I don't talk about a person with a high IQ. There may be one. We're talking about a soul that is very forward in its development, probably in the last 100 lives out of 777, if we speak of it symbolically. And very special attention must be given to that matter. If you'll see me afterwards, I'd be happy to give you a book on the subject. Questions?
Yes, you talked about soul as being different from I. Can you clarify that, please?
The soul takes on a personality in each life, like we might take on a glove to come into contact with something that the hand can't stand. And so the personality is the vehicle by which the soul expresses itself. But you wouldn't expect the glove to tell the hand what to do, or the hand to tell the brain what to do. And so the personality cannot dictate to the soul, nor has it any right to. What it can do is to earn good karma so that the soul may choose a better life in the next incarnation. That is the most fundamental mistake made by people who begin to tread the path in the West, not in the East, in the West. It is the belief that you can assert, and there's something noble about it, thank you. You can assert your personality so firmly that the soul has got to listen, or the gods have got to listen. The gods don't like hubris. They don't like anything of that sort, I can assure you. There are many things they don't like, but that's very near at the top of the list. Showing off and bragging is another thing that the gods don't like. You don't believe this? We're going back to Greece, all of us. We're in Europe. And by the year 2025, you're going to see millions of fourth-ray souls coming into incarnation to beautify the planet and to bring a resurgence of classical Greek and Roman culture back to the hearts of the cities, certainly around the Mediterranean. Rome died, Rome incarnated in Britain, the body of Britain. Then, with 1776, when the nation split in two with the American War of Independence, a new aspect of Rome was incarnated in the United States of America, Byzantium. That nations incarnate, that there is a being, a Gaia, as the soul of a nation? Of course, of course. Manu, that's the word we use. We have to get it from the East, Manu. You get the Manu of the fifth root race, Amanu. Incarnates occasionally, sometimes to strengthen his race. A Hercules is born, and he goes round all the villages, and the villagers push the virgins out into his pathway, and the race is strengthened. Well, whether I'm speaking symbolically or whether I'm speaking factually, there was a Manu, there is a Manu, and there will always be a Manu who will come in to strengthen the race. Now, what did you ask me? Oh, yes, the matter of the human personality.
Well,
yes.
The eye as opposed to the soul, and how does the soul itself...
May I ask you, which eye are you today? Is this the eye that you would present to your boss? No. Is it the eye that you present to the children? A personality expresses itself through many eyes. That's why the peacock is the symbol of so many personalities, so many eyes looking out, all of them trying to show themselves. That's not a vehicle for spiritual qualities. It's the soul.
Identify itself by how does it know itself? Is it separate or?
The soul talks to you every day, but you have to die daily to talk to the soul. The moment you try to talk to the soul in silence, he is the voice of the silence. The moment you try and talk to him, your attention is diverted. In meditation, you learn to establish a language of communication with the gods, including your own soul. Right. Dr. Baker, could you please explain what the Great Pyramid originally was used for? I'd be happy to do that. The Great Pyramid was developed over a tremendously long period of time. Leadbeater said that the first work on the Great Pyramid began about 70,000 years ago. Well, you will hear the Egyptologists telling you that Khufu, the pharaoh of Egypt, built the Great Pyramid for himself, for his burial. I think it was about 3,500 BC. Leadbeater said that the Great Pyramid began about 70,000 years ago, and its function has changed considerably. What happened then was that Atlanteans, who were giant-like men, I'm always staggered as a biologist and scratch my head why humanity can't accept that there were giants. We get remnants of them, atavism, throwbacks, if you like. And these were really giants. I'm not talking about the guys that jump high jump in the Olympics, who are tall and lithe and thin and so on. I'm talking about great big guys who would just fit in this room. And there's good evidence of it. If you came across a fossil femur that long, would you think it was human? That's why, one of the reasons why the remnants of people like these giants have never been found. Teeth in China have been found that size, human teeth in China. I mustn't get off the track. So here we are, 70,000 years ago. According to Leadbeater, and I have a great respect, not for all his stuff, according to Leadbeater, the North African continent, apart from the Atlas Mountains and a few patches here and there, was inundated by the sea up to that sort of level. And of course over here, beyond the Pillars of Hercules, as Plato said, was the fabulous subcontinent of Atlantis. Subcontinent because there were other parts to it. And progressively over a period of 2 or 3 million years, the continent slowly sank beneath the ocean. Not slowly, violently, but over a period of years. And the Atlanteans were a maritime race 10,000 years ago. They were slightly different before that, much larger. And at an early time, they sailed over these seas